There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Locatora Radio is a radiophonic novela,
which is just a very extra way of saying
a podcast.
I'm Dios FM.
And I am Mala Muñoz.
Locatora Radio is your prima's favorite podcast, hosted by us, Mala and Diosa.
We're two IG friends turned podcast partners, breaking down pop culture, feminism, sexual wellness, and offering fresh takes on trending topics through nuanced interviews with up-and-coming Latinx creatives.
Known as Las Locatoras, Las Mamis of Myth and Bullshit, and Las Podcasteras Peligrosas, we were podcasting independently since 2016, but joined iHeartMedia's My Cultura Network in 2022.
This year, we're continuing to share stories from the Latinx community para todo el mundo.
Welcome to Season 8.
Are you listening?
Hola, hola, locamores. Welcome to Season 8 of Locatora Radio. I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
You're tuning into capítulo 175.
Last time on Locatora Radio, we talked about all things Latinx Heritage Month. Go ahead and tune into that interview, leave us a review, share with a friend, and let us know if we missed a super pivotal moment in Hispanic heritage history. And maybe you want to send us a SpeakPipe voicemail. Visit locatoraradio.com and leave us a little gift.
There were so many that I thought of afterwards, like Evie Queen and her existence.
Yes.
And every banger she's put out for decades. So there were definitely a lot more that we could cover, but I think we did a good job covering some pretty big ones.
Oh, absolutely. We only had so much time and there are so many Latinos. How can we cover it all? You know, so go ahead and reach out to us, leave us a comment, leave us a review and share more.
Remember, you can follow Locatora Radio on all social media platforms at Locatora_radio.
Girl, so what's been new? What's been happening? What's going on?
Everything is going on. I'm turning 30 very soon. And so I'm just preparándome in all the ways. The beauty, the nails, the hair, a trip that we'll talk about later, but just lots of things are happening. I feel like I've really grown up on this podcast, which is wild.
Truly over the airwaves. Yes. You've documented the entirety of your 20s.
Really, truly. It's pretty wild to think about, but here we are. I mean, and same for you.
Like, yeah.
Same.
This is a time capsule.
It really is. It's the audio archive.
It really is. And the fact that years ago we started calling it an audio archive and it's just become that is, yeah, I think, pretty genius.
I know. Look at us.
Look at us. We're just thinking out of the box here. Thank you all for tuning in for all these years and listening to us through our 20s and now into our 30s.
Wow. Yeah. It's fun to also see our listeners grow up with us. You know, I think that's one of the really fun things for me to see, like, because y'all comment and engage and come to our shows. So, you know, we get to know you in some capacity. And so to see y'all also graduate college, graduate high school even, and then become grown-ups like us, it's really fun to see.
Grown-ups just like us.
Just like us.
Just like us. It's very, very cool. And we're just happy to be here.
Yeah. What's going on with you? You've been very busy as well.
Yeah. A lot going on. Lots of shows. I recently performed at the Hollywood Improv, and I hosted Marcela Arguello's headlining set. It was her first time headlining the main room at the Improv, and she asked me to host. Nico Santos was on the lineup. He, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Superstore, Crazy Rich Asians, hilarious stand-up. If you didn't know that he was also a stand-up, he was on the lineup. Frankie Quinones, famously, you might know him as Cholo Fit Creeper. He's also in this fool. He was on the lineup. And Joey Bragg, who like has been around since he was a kid. He's been doing stand-up since he was a kid, and he's been on TV, and he's really super cool. So that was a very fun show. And at the time of this recording tonight, I'm going to be headlining for the very first time myself at the stand-up in Bellflower. So after we wrap here, I'm going to head to Bellflower and do my little headlining gig. So it's been fun. It's been cool.
Yeah, I'll be right behind you because I'm also attending.
Yes. Dios, I got a booth, girl.
Yes, my friend Irma is like, she texted our other friend and was like, I got a booth. So we're going to be the señoras in the back with the booth.
I love it.
So
extraordinary.
It's going to be fun.
Doing it in style.
So today we have a really fun interview with Tejana singer-songwriter Veronique Medrano. And we're really excited to talk to her about her work. She is releasing new music, a brand new album. And, you know, she, as we mentioned, she's a Tejana. She doesn't necessarily do regional Mexican music. But I think this moment in time where we're seeing regional Mexican music become really mainstream and popular and global, it's just a very fascinating time. And I'm excited to share this interview with y'all.
100%. And just some of Veronique's credits, she was featured by the Grammys as one of the five Latin artists reimagining country music. Veronique was also named Nashville Scene's 12 Country Musicians to Watch by The Boot and the Billboard. And Veronique has been described, KSAT-12's Good Morning San Antonio, as a Tex-Mex artist with a voice as big as the Lone Star State. So we're super excited to have her on the pod. This was a really fun episode. Veronique has a lot of like music history knowledge, so I think you guys are really going to enjoy this one. All right, Veronique Medrano, Tejana singer songwriter, zooming in. Where are you right now? Are you in New York?
Yes, I'm in New York City for LAMC and a few other different projects. But yeah, we're out here in the Big Apple. And it's crazy to say that I've been here more times than I ever thought I would at 18 years old.
For music specifically?
Yes, for music specifically. I've come out here for a Broadway audition. I've come out here for like music stuff. And it's just, it's such a weird thing to be out here for the arts when I come from a very small town. And that is not an option. Like that's, you dream girl. Mm-hmm. You become a dream girl. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, it's not like, it always feels very weird when the dreams become reality and you're in that space and you're like, oh, shit, like I'm really doing it.
Can you let our listeners know what LAMC is?
So LAMC is the Latin Alternative Music Conference out here in New York. They've hosted it here for quite some time and they do cater to alternative music. Now they started adding a little bit more reggaeton, but at the time it was just alternative rock, alternative pop, and now they've kind of expanded who they serve. And so you're seeing a lot of different kinds of people. I literally saw a poet yesterday that was here for this conference.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events.
With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I love that. Can you take us all the way to the beginning and tell us, how did you get your start in music, in songwriting, in performing?
Oof. I always tell people, like, you always hear the very unfortunately cliched story of, I started when I was five. I'm going to tell you all, I did not start when I was five. I was a choked chicken singing at five. Aww. Like that. there's no way we're going to say I'm the next Maria Callas at five. So let's end that. I didn't start professionally getting into the industry till right after high school. I actually came out here to New York at 18 for a competition. I had won a competition, a state competition, and was given the opportunity to come out here. Saw the Phantom of the Opera and was immediately just floored by the production, by the musicality, by just the level of professionalism, but also performanceship that is required at these bigger levels. And from that moment on, I was enamored, but not necessarily given the opportunity with open arms, because local community theater didn't have the space for me. Like it was always someone else that looked a little bit more like, you know, the woman in The Sound of Music, you know, stuff like that. Like, you know, you have to fit a certain type. And so I immediately ran into that, and then my own, you know, struggles with the music department at my local college, and quit music at 19. And really didn't think I was going to get back into it. So I threw myself into English creative writing and threw myself into poetry and creating poetry and creating written word and books and novels and stuff like that. And just the things that go into writing creatively. And that's where I honed my pen. That is where the pen and the story was honed, through that experience in college, graduated with my English degree, and then was like, you know what? I think I'm now mature enough to get back into the music business, but let's treat it like a business. I'm not gonna let it treat me. I'm gonna treat it. And went into it with eyes wide open and very green, and experienced most of what people discuss as the underbelly of what the music industry is. And I experienced it in one of the genres that is possibly the most beloved by a lot of Mexicanos, which is Tejano music. And so I got to experience, you know, the sexism and all of these different things that just come with just being in a predominantly male dominated space, and still managed to thrive and still managed to, you know, mark a space for myself, because everything I have done when it comes to my art has been my way. I never at any point said, oh yeah, let me cater to XYZ person, let me do XYZ thing. Every song that's gotten big for me, whether it's La Pulga, Aguas Frescas, things that were very much a part of my culture and my life, and things that I could relate to, labels or indie labels or people who were guiding me were telling me I was doing it wrong, and they weren't in my life for very long. So, you know, I was real chingona vibes, and have been for most of my music career. I needed to pave a way for myself, because it just was something that coming from a small town, just coming from a small border town, it's kind of ingrained in you that nothing will come easy, because it'll either be the color of your skin, the place that you're from, oh, did you get an Ivy League, you know, the degree. It, like, there's always something to nitpick at. And if I can always answer it first with, you know, myself, then it's really hard for other people to really say anything.
I love the way you describe your journey. It's so exciting to hear, like, your musical origins. You have this album coming out September 1st, Mejia Americana. But it sounds like when you first really started digging into music, your entry was musical theater, which is so fun.
Oh, yeah. Musical theater has always, musical theater and jazz have always really been a big part of my musical upbringing. So while I wasn't performing professionally and I wasn't in school for performing, I was actually sneaking away to the jazz band to go and try out and then perform at their concerts. And I didn't have to take the class. I just had to make sure to show up to rehearsal. So I was like, show up to rehearsal and do the thing. And so there's videos out there of me during that gap time where I wasn't really performing, where you see just me out there just making little spaces for myself wherever. If you open a crack in a door, I will shove my whole 9.5 size foot in it. And so that's kind of the vibe. That was the vibe for it.
Just let the girl sing. The girl wants to sing.
You mentioned, you know, honing your craft and your songwriting skills through your English degree major, through creative writing. So what would you say now is your approach to songwriting?
It has not changed. I mean, I have a whole poetry book. There were certain, like, lines, stanzas, and sections from it that I've had for at least 10 years that went into this album. That foundation is why I say, you know, that's why I am as successful as I am, because that's what I've used to make the career that I've made, because I was just, I threw myself 120% into creative writing to the point that I was out there pitching, you know, pitching decks of, or chapbooks as they call them, of, you know, short story, poetry, going into these poetry writing camps, going into these classes, fully ready to be disassembled and reassembled again at my desire. Because I know a lot of people who are writers will say, well, shoot, that's a huge risk going into these creative writing spaces. I'm not even going to lie to you, because they're predominantly Anglo-leaning and they have an idea of what our story is that is not correct. And so I love to debate. So I love to be like, you can say what you like, but are you this? And a lot of the times it would come with like an absolute stop. Like they don't have any response. There's no rebuttal. And so I used those spaces to understand what I would come up against as a writer, but also to be like, okay, there is some constructive criticism here that I can come back in from. And especially as a songwriter, that is going to be the biggest lesson to learn when you're in studio spaces that are not your own, that a lot of the times you have to be willing to have a producer, to have somebody be like, hey, you know what, this is just not meshing right. This isn't syncopating. Understanding meter and understanding how words flow, how they can rise and fall. Truly, like I'm waxing poetic here, but like quite literally, the aspect of writing has not left me because of that just solid foundation. And I was super blessed that I had teachers who were poet laureates in Texas who are Mexicanas. And, you know, and women writers who were like really the foundation for it before moving into, you know, male Anglo teachers who were writers. Like that, having that and understanding that and reading that changed so much for me.
Super cool.
I love that, because mm-hmm. I was also a creative writing major and I had a very similar experience, but I approached it very differently. I was like, fuck y'all. I'm going to go to Chicano-Chicana Studies. I'm going to go to Black Studies and Feminist Studies and take all the creative writing classes in there, because I don't need to workshop my shit with y'all. And that also was very formative and I think led to being able to create this project that we know as Locatora now. So I love hearing that story and how you responded to it.
I'm just a little shithead sometimes. Truly. I mean, I know the type of vibes I give, especially in a creative space. And the older I've gotten, the more I'm really proud of a younger me that didn't always bend and bend to those things, because I think an even younger version of me would have, because she didn't know any better. And that honestly is the root of a lot of the dual identity that happens with Mexican American and Latino American people.
Yeah.
Creatives especially, because we do not know where we land on the spectrum. We love Rocío Dúrcal and Britney Spears. We love, you know, Justin Timberlake, and we love Luis Miguel. Like, they're like, change out the Spanish artist, you're still gonna have, you know, the other side of it. You know, you have your Juanes, and then you have your, you know, John Legend. Like, you're gonna have that other side of the coin, depending on what your influences are and what you like. But there's always that, and it's exhausting, it's frustrating, because you have to learn how to create in that middle space and pull from those buckets without being more one than the other.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles, because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Your music is technically Tejano music, but in listening to your music, you hear a lot of different influences. And I think that's touching on what you're describing here. How would you describe your sound?
It's roots music. It's music that was created due to our relationship with Mexico on the border. I would not necessarily anymore typify it as Tejano, because so much of the music is, so many things borrow from cumbia, mm-hmm. and so many of the things that Tejano has done borrows from, you know, Brazil and from Puerto Rico and from so many other things. It's definitely a melting pot of sound. I mean, you see it. You can get some type of influence from the interior of Mexico, but then you have Puerto Rico with, you know, the bachata, the salsa, like all that stuff, like all of it blends together when we listen to cumbia. And especially like looking at like 90s Tejano, which a lot of people do, and they like to compare current artists to 90s Tejano. that is a totally different sound with totally different electronic, you know, capabilities. Like, you know, Selena was ahead of her time because of electronic guitar and that influx of synthesizer and everything else entering the music Latin space that, you know, her and her family and her brother especially, you know, were riding that wave before everybody else. And so, you know, the comparisons are really harder now because our music just does not sound the same. It will not sound the same.
That like literally leads into a question we wanted to ask you about Selena, obviously. Even just in your descriptions of your own experiences in the music industry and in Texas, there's a lot of parallels to Selena's story. Like it sounds very similar, and you know, this is decades later. So I'm so curious, not only how has the sound changed since Selena, but how has the industry changed? How has Tejano music and the culture around it changed since the 80s and the 90s?
In good ways and in bad. As with everything, you know, with growth and advancement, unfortunately, there's things that get left behind. And for me, one of those things is definitely that the music then was very influenced and still going through its big band and then going into the R&B movement and trying to be R&B. And it was catering to its time. It was catering to whether it was R&B, electronic, synthesizer. There was a lot more of that moving in. But what people a lot of the times don't remember, because of course history is for the ones that tell it, is that Selena was not the most well-liked artist at the time for doing the things that she did. It wasn't until there was monetarily commercial success that the industry began to really accept her, because how can you not? There's money to be made. there's a machine, there's a system to be made, you know, upon the backs of Emilio and Ram and Selena and all of these people, like Stephanie Montiel, Elida Reina, Shelly Lattis. Like, there was an entire group of people. I think back in the day there was maybe like 5, maybe 6 active women in the industry, and now there's 32.
Nice.
So like that total night and day difference, we can already point that out. Women have a lot more space to create and be open and put out their own style. At the same token, you know, there's the unfortunate aspect of Selenadom, which is that she is not just a patron saint to many artists, she's almost like a ghost that many fans want us to ghostbuster her and want her to like and want us to like take her spot, but not really. They want us to fight the ghost, but why? Like there will never be a comparison, because the artist of today is very different than the artist of the 90s. The way they carried themselves, what they were doing, you know, what they were standing for, you know, what they stood up for. The artist of today has to be so multifaceted and different than the artist of Selena's generation. And so you look at those two things, and it's just the space has changed. The music has changed. It now leans a little bit more Mexican regional, because Mexican regional's big right now. Like, like all of these things kind of feed into the other, unfortunately. And so, you know, when a lot of people ask, you know, where is Tejano now? It's still active, thriving. Music comes out every week, like in every other industry. There's new artists, new bands, legacy artists, legacy bands. You know, it's still thriving. It's just maybe not to the level people expect, which is, you know, the bombastic money-making years of the 90s.
I love that you mentioned the rise of Mexican regional music, because I have a question about that. I'm super fascinated by seeing this meteor rise. You know, my family, my Mexican family is from Coahuila and Chihuahua, like Norteños all the way. So I'm super fascinated how it's become very mainstream. And so you on the inside, as an artist, as a Tejana, as a Mexican American, how do you see this rise and what's your take on it?
I think it was bound to happen. Once you saw the Latin takeover of Bad Bunny, just like anyone, you know, eventually, like, you get tired of eating the same thing. unless you're on a diet, then you just gotta. But like, you're tired of eating the same thing, so you're gonna search out something that's slightly similar. And while I know some people will be like, well, Mexican regional is nothing like, you know, Bad Bunny. I'm like, I got you, I get you, I understand. But he did do a Mexican regional.
He did. He's done like two at this point. But,
and it's kind of like he understands. Like when the biggest artist of this generation is understanding that there's a shift in the market, can he shift there? Can he creatively shift there? Realistically, we don't know because most of it has been features. Mm. It has not been a full production. But, you know, you're seeing this Peso Pluma. Like these people have been out there working. You know, these last few years, they have not just suddenly come up. It's just that right time, right place, right moment. I mean, my God, you know, Becky G takes him out and like, there was already songs in the works, you know, there was already Grupo Frontera, like Bad Bunny brings them out because they literally had a song in the works. Like timing was just really well. And so you have this representation again of Mexicanos that is very different than representation of Latinos. So, you know, you're shifting over, and that's why I think it's happening, because we're starting to get into this renaissance again of, I know this sounds really wild because I've been talking about the 90s like crazy, and they're like, is she just, is that all she talked about? But it's almost like a 90s.
No, there's parallels, you know, yeah.
There's a lot of parallels, and like everything, history repeats itself. And so, you know, just like the Ricky Martin phase, you know, who came up right after Ricky Martin? Christina Aguilera. Like, and she was, you know, she is who she is. Like, it is what it is. And so you're looking at all these parallels, like you said, and that's why I think it's common sense. Like, to me, is if you're going to try to ride that Latin wave, the Latin wave hasn't really hit and touched everything that it can to really make the most money for the music industry. And they're aware of how much money there is left on the table with the Karol G tour, with the Bad Bunny tour, with the Daddy Yankee tour. You're only getting a small part of the pie when you really think about it, because Mexicans have the other half and haven't completely come all the way. Now we're starting to see money movement. Now we're starting to see like, okay, like we need to invest, we need to find. And in the music industry, I'm going to tell you, every industry has been touched by that. Meetings upon meetings on, you know, these conversations. And it's all like, how can we find the right person or find the right people that can push that money machine? And it's unfortunate that I talk about it that way, but it's a business. This is a business. It's not the music hobby. It's the music business.
Yeah.
And so,
yes, it's an economy. It's so industry.
It's a complete industry. Complete industry that, you know, why people are like, oh, the Flamin' Hot movie, like a Chicano story, a story about a Chicano, a Mexican American, you know, here in the States. And that thing has done gangbusters. We will see more movies like that. There's another one coming out about the gentleman who was an astronaut.
Cool.
Who went up into space. With the guy from Marvel. But like, there's so many different projects that were already in the works, I guess. You know, I'm working on a documentary project right now that, you know, it's in process about another, you know, Chicano icon. So these things, while it seems new to the public, it's not new behind the scenes. It's something that's been building and brewing.
Of course, and Latinos have been contributing to the entertainment industry and the music industry for years and years and years. Before Selena, for decades. Sheila E. is getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yes.
That was on the news yesterday, I saw, which is very exciting. Famous Mexican-American percussionist. Toured with Prince. Prince loves Sheila E., which I think is super cool, you know, that she was there, you know, and making her mark. And you have been in the midst of all of your music and all the advancements being made in Tejano music and in Latin music in general. You've been championing this petition to get an icon into the Country Music Hall of Fame, Freddie Fender. And I wanted to ask you, can you share with our listeners why Freddie Fender? What is his impact on country music, on music in general, and why is he important for you?
I don't think the Mex part of Tex-Mex would be what it is without Freddie Fender. You cannot have Tex-Mex without Freddy Fender. You cannot have the way it sounds. You cannot have the way it feels. You can't have the way it just hits you right in the chest and makes your booty move. Like you just can't. And there's a lot of artists, like, let me be clear. I know of the Rick Trevino, the Mavericks, like there's a lot of different artists, you know, a Flaco Jimenez, but a lot of them had they were in a certain pocket of the industry, but Freddie Fender was a crossover icon. Like there was, the album itself was considered a Tejano record. The label released it as a Tejano record. This is a bilingual Tex-Mex album. And it went number one on the country charts. And then you listen to the sounds of Freddie Fender at the time, and you look kind of backwards, like Juan Sebastian. Like there was a lot of people doing Spanish country music before Freddie Fender, agreed, but they didn't reach those heights. They ended up switching to other genres. They weren't making the money. It wasn't charting. They had to make a switch, and they did, and they made more money. Freddie Fender didn't. And because of that, and because of his style of sound, he was, you know, his songs were performed by Dolly Parton, Loretta Lynn, Tim McGraw, like everyone who's anyone in the country music industry knows Freddie Fender, from the newest artist to the mainstay artist, because of his impact with that one record to start. And I know a lot of people go, which I get this all the time because of this petition, oh, well, he just had a one hit. No, honey, he had 20.
This is a really, really great music history that a lot of, because you're naming artists that people love, Loretta Lynn, Dolly Parton, assuming that every song they've sang, they've written themselves. But, you know, there are other songwriters, and Freddie Fender being one of them.
Yeah, they loved his song so much that they went and covered it. Like, how, like, you cannot imagine somebody with that much impact. Los Super 7, that super group, those band, the Texas Tornadoes, were helped by Freddie Fender's influence and impact in country music to be allowed space into those markets. You really have to be honest, like nobody else was at that level. Yes, they were at that level maybe in other genres, that's why they're a super group, but not in the country market. You have to acknowledge that Freddie really blew through there, created a sound that was just so Mexican, Texas, like even California. He brought in Zydeco, he brought in that Chicano soul sound, and he really did something for Mexicanos, Americanos, Chicanos that really, I don't think any other artist has been able to kind of capture that, because you have to understand those sounds. You know, all of that combined, along with the fact that he had been working for so many years actively, pretty much all the way up until he passed away. He was working on an album. He was very active in the music industry, especially the country music industry.
I love that music history so much. I want to ask you specifically, I want to go back and ask you about your album, because that's why you're here today. You have a new album coming out, and this is a bilingual album. So tell us more about creating a bilingual album. To my knowledge, your previous albums have been all in Spanish, but this is like the Mexi Americana album. It's bilingual. There's some genre blending. Like, tell us more.
Mexi Americana is 90% written by me. There's only three songs, I think maybe a fourth, that are not. This record and making a bilingual record was the most natural to me, because it was really allowing me to play with language in a way that I play with it every single day, in a way that I engage with it every single day. You know, I can be talking to my mom in English and then switch over to a conversation with my grandmother in Spanish. And that duality and that blending and that just code switching, it's constant in my daily life in Roswell, Texas. And I say here, is it just proverbial here? Because obviously we just said I was in New York. So. But it's just, I think even, you know, walking down the streets of New York where I can understand the two languages playing around, it's a space, and it's something that I don't feel has been captured my way. And so that's really why I did it, you know, trying to go from, you know, Mexican regional Tejano into country and, you know, an alternative country music styling felt the most natural to me in my songwriting because of how I live and how I breathe and how I interact with the world on a daily basis. But there was a lot of growth going through that. And it wasn't pretty growth. It was some ugly, like me having to reckon with a lot of things that I did in my youth, into my adulthood, into my young womanhood. And now me, you know, at 30, kind of looking back on all that and looking back on the relationships that I made myself smaller for, the people that, you know, suddenly went from people who appreciated my art to become haters and just, you know, think that they had ownership of me, and or people that just wanted to be with me because I was an artist and they liked that energy and that vibe. Unfortunately, that's as an artist and especially as a artist of color, protecting my space, protecting my peace, and then on top of that, just dealing with all the medical things I was dealing with throughout this record, I lost myself in the pain of healing a broken heart and healing a body that was trying to die.
So it sounds like the writing of the album was very emotional and reflective. And given the whole conversation we've had today, I'm so curious, like, what does it take, like, to get an album made? Not just to write the songs, but to get the thing made and produced so that it can be shared with the world.
I always practice caution with people who are like, ah, I want to be, you know, I want to do what you do. I'm like, well, you have to come in with the idea that, one, you have to be really confident about what it is the message that you're wanting to get out to the world and how you want it to sound. But then you also have to be open to that sound changing, because you pick a producer, you pick somebody to go into the studio with who's going to arrange it or whatever. A lot of the times the way you think it's going to come out in your head sometimes doesn't come out exactly like that, because it's a collaborative process. You have to be open to collaborating, changing how you want to say something, unless it's just like you are damned. Like I've been that way. I'm like, I'm not changing this hook. I can change everything else. This hook is staying. They're like, God. And it's a super collaborative process, and you have to be open to that. And you have to be very mindful of your surroundings, very mindful of the energy that you're not just bringing into the room, but who's in the room. And with that being said, be prepared for it to cost some money. Be prepared for it to feel soul tearing, because you're going to really, you can't treat every little thing like your baby. You have to be willing to just kind of like let things get taken apart and then put back together. You have to be willing to have that collaborative process be very much a part of it. Now, if it's abusive, you can tell them to go fuck themselves and get your money back. The ideal process is you go in with a song, with a message, being open to it not sounding how you thought it would sound. And I say sound, not message per se, because the message should be exactly the message you want to get out to the world. It's just a lot of the times you go, oh, pues, I wanted to do a lo-fi track. Well, here comes a rock song. Like that is how, like, that is what I mean by, like, you should be open to it telling you how it wants to exist in the world. If you still want that lo-fi record a huevo, then maybe find a different producer who can do that. But if it's telling you this is where it wants to go, it'll tell you. Creative things, whether it's writing, whether it's anything, it dictates what it would like to be out in the world. You are just a vessel for it to come out. But after it's out, it dictates. It tells you what it wants. You don't tell it what it wants. And a lot of times you can hear it. You can hear it on certain songs that are like, oh, like something just doesn't, it's almost there. And those moments where you're like, ah, oh, it's almost there, is because somebody else dictated where it should have gone. And it still wanted to marinate. It still wanted to grow. It still wanted to be something else.
I love that. That's incredible advice for any creative in any field. Thank you so much for joining us today. I have to let you know that one of my favorite songs on the album, which I know is a single, is Que Hueva. It's so good because I don't like to cook. I'm like, que hueva. Las mujeres estamos en guerra. Like, I agree 100%. Thank you so much for sharing so much today. This has been an incredible episode. We can't wait to see you when you're in LA. We'd love to make something happen out here with all our listeners también.
Absolutely. Can you let our listeners know where they can follow you and where they can stream your album when it is out?
Yes, you guys can find me on veroniquemedrano.com, VeroniqueIQUE, Medrano, MEDRANO. I've done this so many times spelling my name. But you can find me anywhere you cheese me on your friends, whether it's TikTok, Threads,
Todo,
Ned, I don't know, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you guys are at. I am on there, Veronique Medrano. And of course, on streaming platforms, I am everywhere under Veronique Medrano.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us here at Locatora Radio.
We'll catch you next time.
Besitos. Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, is executive produced and hosted by me, Mala Munoz, and Diosa Femme.
Story editing by me, Diosa.
Audio editing by Stephanie Franco.
Thank you to our locamores, our listeners, for all of your support.
Besitos! Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela.
Hosted by Mala Munoz
and Diosa Femme.
Network. Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.